Joining us now online, very pleased to be joined by Raptors assistant coach Tom Sterner. Tom, thanks for jumping on. The Raptors 5-1 in the preseason. Are you polishing up the Larry O'Brien trophy right now?
George, what we're trying to do is just get our stuff right. You know, we've been playing hard, and that's kind of our identity, is how hard we play. And we've actually sat Kyle and JV and DeMar. Everybody sat out games, so we certainly have not tried to tax them, and we've limited minutes on their behalf to anywhere from 20 to 22, a little bit sometimes high 25. But we're trying to keep the minute count down and get ready for the regular season. But we also have to try to work on everything that we have from an offensive and defensive package and make sure we're doing it right.
You know, I'd love to get a coach's perspective on this in seeing your athletes come into camp in a day and age right now where, I mean, athletes are working out 24/7 all year long. Champions are made in the offseason, and many of them get that. So I would assume that a lot of your players would come into camp in pretty good condition already. So perhaps maybe the preseason is too long. That's something that I have heard. But give us a coach's perspective. To your satisfaction, do you look at the length of the preseason and say, that's what I need, not only to get these guys in condition, but also to be playing together, to be gelling and, you know, up and running kind of in midseason form by the season opener?
Well, I think the 8-game preseason was done many years ago. Again, I've been in the league 25 years, so a lot of guys when I was back in the early 90s were using preseason to get in shape. You make a great point in that our guys have been working all summer long in terms of working out and working on their game and trying to make improvements, and so they are in very good condition. Teams now have preseasons where we come in September and try to do some conditioning and they play. You know, it's an unstructured play, but yet they're still running up and down the basketball court and getting into shape. From our perspective, we're trying to use these 8 preseason games to get our packages in, our offensive package and our defensive package. And for us, in the sense that the continuity of the coaching staff and the players is consistent from last year, really helps us because we're not changing a whole lot. You know, we were top 10 in offense, top 10 in defense a year ago, so we're going to keep a lot of the same concepts at both sides of the basketball, and then just try to add maybe some new twists and turns to try to keep it fresh. But by and large, you know, it's one of those things where we can start a little bit ahead of where we were a year ago with the team.
Tom, you talk about training camp and players being ready. Have you seen a noticeable difference in DeMar and JV fresh off their World Cup of basketball experience?
DeMar is unbelievable. Like he is. He's really sharp. He's much more fluid. He's confident. You know, he and I were talking the other day. He just said being around all those really good players, you know, kind of gives him a different perspective mentally in terms of how he's going to approach this season. And it was such a fabulous experience for him. And Jonas, the same thing. You know, JV had the same experience for his team, being a focal point on his team, the team counting on him as their big man, the guy that they go to and went down to, you know, went to down the stretch. So both of them, I think, have a confidence level that they didn't have at this time a year ago. They have a heightened confidence level, which is great for our team and great for our club.
Tom, we know the confidence that DeMar DeRozan had at leading this team to a playoff berth last season. But as you mentioned, being around all those players, I don't know if, and you know, would know a lot more than I do, but does he have that sense now that DeMar thinks he belongs with the NBA's elite, and maybe he wasn't completely buying it, but now after that experience and seeing his ability that, yeah, he believes now he's an elite player in this league?
Well, I think it started with the trade last year. I think at that point in time, he felt like once Rudy left, DeMar felt like he had to step up. And here's the maturation process that DeMar has taken place. 3 years ago, when Coach Casey and I got here, DeMar DeRozan wouldn't say boo to a mouse in a church somewhere. All right, he just wouldn't speak up. He wouldn't. Now he is talking to his teammates. He's encouraging them. He's talking coverages. He's speaking up in front of the group, and he is emerging. The all-star status last year, I think, helped him, again, gave him the confidence that I belong. I am one of the elite players in this league, and now it's an opportunity for me to go out and show it. And he worked hard all summer. So he's not sitting back and saying, you know, I've accomplished, you know, everything I need to accomplish. I think his goals are even much loftier than where they were a year ago. And now he has the confidence to be able to carry through and get them to where he wants it to be.
And it's nice to see DeMar so vocal on the court as well. Like after a whistle, going into a timeout and meeting you guys on the bench, he's gathering the other four players on the court and chatting with them before he gets to you guys. So that's been nice to see him really take that leadership role. Tom, I want to ask you about last year, only 3-7 in games decided by 3 points or less, 7-13, 5 points or less, 9-16 when the score was within 3 points with a minute left. You guys want to be better in the final minutes of games. How have you gone about doing that?
Well, we've spent an enormous amount of time in the exhibition season. We have gone through these series of two-minute games where we start to score out at a fixed number, usually 90-90, and we play to a score. And then we start a two-minute clock when the team hits, and the first team hits 95. And so you're either up or down, and we are playing out these two-minute games in practice live. You know, we use the timeouts. If we call timeouts, they are the 30-second timeouts. So coaching staff, from the standpoint of working with our players, have 30 seconds to get the information to them. I'm going to say, without trying to exaggerate, we've played 25 of these games in the last 3 weeks in training camp. So we every day play three or four of these, and we are working. We have end-of-game plays that we are hammering out. We have end-of-game defensive situations we are hammering out. And we are really making that a focal point for our training camp this year in the event of trying to make sure that we flip those numbers that you just read off and that we are plus on the 500 side in games decided by 5 points or 3 points or less.
Raptors assistant coach Tom Stoerner here on Sportsnet tonight. That's Jeff. I'm George. Tom, you talk about last-minute plays. Has that final play against Brooklyn, has that been up in training camp, and does that play kind of give you guys more incentive when you're working on these two-minute drills?
No, there's no question. I mean, our guys, and I'll go back, you know, again, we all have history in this league, but I'll go back to the Orlando Magic when I was with them, and our guys got ousted in the first round when we lost to Indiana in a playoff series. That group of guys banded together, and that summer decided that they weren't going to let that happen again. And crazy enough, we go to the finals the next year. Now, I'm not suggesting that we're going to the finals this year. I'm not trying to, you know, get there.
So, Tom, what you're suggesting is you're going to the finals.
You got our hopes up, Tom.
Well,
it's already all over Twitter, Tom. Tom Stoerner is saying the Raptors are going to the finals.
Yeah, no. We are certainly, we absolutely have it set as a goal. But I don't want to put that kind of pressure on our team. What I'm saying. Yeah. Is that our players from that experience have tasted a little bit of that for the first time for a lot of them. For the first time for a lot of them, and I'll say that again, and now they want more. And so with that in mind, they are working with the idea that they want to reestablish themselves as a playoff team in this league and go back after an Atlantic Division championship and go back after that total of 48 wins and see what we can do. But we just want to go out every night and just be the best team that we can be. And wherever that takes us, all right, if we continue to do that, we'll achieve all the things, you know, that we set out for goals for our franchise.
I think what your club can really boast now is depth. And you just look at the backcourt alone with DeRozan and Lowry and Williams and Vasquez Ross. Of course, the addition of Williams there, smack dab in the middle of that list of names. The San Antonio Spurs didn't have a player average more than 29 minutes a game last season. It's so good to have that depth. Is that the new recipe now in the NBA? Obviously, the Spurs would be a blueprint for any other organization, given how successful they've been over many, many years. But is that the approach now with the Raptors and the new game plan in the NBA is to distribute the minutes and make sure everybody's healthy and rested?
Well, that certainly is a formula for success. And think about the trade again. I keep coming back to that. When we added Johnny Salmons and Grievous Vasquez and Pat Patterson and Chuck Hayes last year, we went from a team who had to play DeMar DeRozan, Rudy Gay, and Kyle Lowry big minutes because we didn't have an enormous amount of depth, to a team that now we had a second unit. And a lot of times, guys, last year, We made our spacing, or I should say, we made ground up with our second unit because they came in and we didn't miss a beat. You know, we were good offensively. We were good defensively. We take maybe a 4 or 5 point lead at the end of the first quarter and push it up to 9 or 10. And so because of that, we have that same formula for success and that same opportunity this year. Adding Lou Williams certainly gives us an offensive player. All right. Patterson is back. Hansborough is back. Chuck Hayes is back. You know, and that they're great backups for JV and Amir. And then at the backcourt, we've, you know, added Lou Williams, James Johnson certainly in the mix in terms of a player who can help us, and Vasquez is back. So we've added that depth, and we want to be able to utilize that and cut down, not drastically, but save Kyle and save DeMar, you know, because DeMar was probably top five last year in terms of minutes played. And he recognizes that, you know, over 82 games plus all the playoff games, that it all does add up to them.
Tom, we recently talked about an article on Grantland that said the Raptors have too much depth. Is there such a thing as too much depth in the NBA?
Well, you know, I don't know that you ever have too much depth, because you never know, and I'm stomping my feet on something wood right now, that you get an injury. You get a key injury, and now all of a sudden, you know, you're scratching to find a player. You know, right now we have an opportunity where if we do sustain an injury, you know, we have an opportunity to have guys come in and step up and help us. You know, if you do not have those players, now you're out searching, and it really can disrupt your team. I mean, take a look at, you know, some of the teams that have had that problem in the past, and certainly you can point to teams that are very good basketball teams, but without, you know, one or two. New Orleans last year, you know, had all kinds of injuries, and they have a pretty talented roster, but without those key players on the floor, it makes it difficult for you to go out and compete night in and night out. So I don't know that you can ever have too much depth. Certainly it's, you know, Case's problem, you know, a little bit to manage all those guys, and we'll certainly work those guys in, but I don't know you can ever have too much.
Tom, talking about Valanciunas and Amir, what do they have to do to be better at defending the rim?
Well, one of the things we have to do is, it's not always on, you know, like everybody points to your rim protection, and you look at your two big guys inside. We got to do a better job on the perimeter. We have to be more accountable by guarding the ball on the perimeter and not letting the ball get into the paint. And granted, when they're there, you know, both of those guys are not, you know, they're not Dwight Howard-type shot blockers. They are guys that have to use their verticality. They have to use their quickness to get to the restricted area before the ball does. And we have to be able to take charges. We have to be able to go vertical, much like Indiana did when they played against the Miami Heat. Even guys like Roy Hibbert, who are shot blockers, use that verticality rule to be able to change and alter shots. But it starts on the perimeter. It starts with our guards, and it starts with our guys on the outside, not allowing blow-bys, not allowing easy penetration into the paint, making sure that we get tags on pick-and-roll situations, and then close out and contest shots. So there's a lot of factors that go in to having better rim protection, but it's not always on JV and Amir.
Tom, before I let you go, I know Global Ambassador Drake was a big part hanging around you guys, cheering you guys under that playoff run. Did you get a chance to see his warm-up at Kentucky and that air ball three? And can you coach him up so he doesn't embarrass himself again like that?
Hey, over the years, you've had the opportunity. A lot of guys, you know, in the music profession have come by. You know, when we were at the Mavericks, we had some people come by as well. We'll spend some time with him, and we'll make sure that we get him going straight to the basket, and we'll get him to work on a little bit. He actually has come in on occasions at night and come up to the practice floor, because I know he loves to play, and we'll coach him up and we'll get him going. We'll make him a better ambassador. How's that?
Tom Sterner, a Raptors assistant coach. The work never ends, Tom.
Drake, you got to coach up.
I coach everybody.
I'll pay you some more money.
Tom, appreciate this. Thanks so much.
Hey, guys, appreciate you having me on. Thanks very much.